The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you along with Ray Allen. Ray engineering and producing the show. Ray's got a big smile on his face. He had a great weekend, and I hope you did as well. It is Monday, the 6th of November, 2017. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI. That's Tucson's voice. And we've got our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. If you miss a program, we've got you covered. All the Buckmaster shows, pretty much every show we have done since January 2011 at buckmastershow.com. If you'd like to join in our Monday political face-off, 790-2040 for your calls and for your comments. The Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems, i.e. Moe does make house calls. He'll take care of all of the hanging for you. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and moesgallery.com. And of course, they're on Facebook too. Every Monday, we do begin the Buckmaster Show. We've done this now pretty much since we launched the program. So our Monday political face-off features a different team of commentators this week. Bruce Ash is with us. Mr. Ash, in his fourth term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, he's still very sad that his longtime love, Los Angeles Dodgers, just fell a little short to the Houston Astros. But
5 runs short of 115 wins and a World Series victory. You know, at 8:59 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, it became U of A basketball season. I went to our first game yesterday afternoon, and oh my goodness, those guys are going to be good.
Don Jorgensen is with us. Dr. Jorgensen, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Don, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. Yeah, this weekend my wife and I gorged ourselves at the gelato festival up at La Encantada.
So it's pretty hard to stop after one little Dixie cup full of it, isn't it?
Well, actually, they gave you cups or cones, and it was, you try every one of them. If you actually tried every one there, it'd be about 20 cups of gelato. I stopped short because there was no way I was going to try green chili cheesecake gelato, but they had some great ones. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, my goodness. It's hard to believe, Bruce and Don. I think it was about 5 weeks ago today. It was that horrible aftermath of the Las Vegas shootings. We all felt horrible. And Don and Bruce, we all feel horrible again today, don't we?
We sure do.
I mean, after that shooting in a church, my goodness.
The danger that we're facing as Americans is it's continual now. Yeah, you know, this is the third mass shooting that I know of in the past 5-6 weeks. It's just on and on and on. And the danger now is it's becoming routine, and Americans are becoming numb to it. Mm-hmm. And it's time for politicians in states, nationally, to kind of develop some backbone, moral, ethical, and political will to take actions. Now, there can be a lot of debate about what actions, and that's fine. But just saying our thoughts and prayers go out to people is not enough.
Yeah, I noticed on Facebook this time, after the Las Vegas incident, everyone had, you know, the little "We're with you, Las Vegas," and our thoughts and prayers. I didn't see a lot of that after this incident. It's not that I'm sure people aren't feeling that way. It's just that they feel perhaps just kind of hopeless that there's not much they can do. And Bruce, I know you feel very strongly about this, that that is kind of this constant drumming of violence and cruelty in media entertainment and pop culture that breeds kind of this environment.
Well, I think that's a definite factor. I'm not a psychologist. Don Jorgensen is. I just play one in the movies.
We'll speak with a real one here in a few moments.
But, you know, one of the differences, not to skirt your question, Bill, but one of the differences between the Las Vegas incident and this is that we had this huge sort of a vast field of humanity who were all running, and there were, you know, dozens or hundreds of stories. And, you know, we saw a lot of the impact of what the violence that occurred on camera and from these witnesses. Here, really probably the most vivid kind of description of what happened yesterday happened when the young man across the street shot this fellow, you know, stopped him.
The guy was at a gas station across the street.
Right, and grabbed another guy. They jumped, you know, in their car and chased the guy down, you know, the road several miles from there. We probably know more about that than we do what happened immediately in the church that day. And you know, perhaps that's part of it. I don't think anybody, you know, thinks less of what happened yesterday. And certainly, you know, all of us, I mean, can you imagine, you know, going into a house of worship and having that type of pure evil enter and strike the lives of all these people? You know, whether you lost somebody or not, this is a small town. I think there's 400 people, and 5% of them were killed yesterday. It's just unbelievable.
Let's hear from the psychiatrist. Psychologist, excuse me,
well,
Dr. Don
PhD,
Jorgensen.
But a little PhD. Different. However, okay. and as you're saying that, Bruce, and everything you said is true. It's talking about people going about their normal lives. On this Sunday, it was going to church. A few years ago, it was people going to Safeway here in the Northwest and having this violence come upon them just in their daily lives. And that's the change that's happened now. And we had the same thing happen here in the Safeway parking lot. We had citizens go after the gunman and essentially disabled him and prevented more violence too. But until we get back to what are all the attempts, what are all the actions that can be taken to address mental health issues, certainly, to address domestic violence issues, to address access by any of these folks to assault weapons. We have to look at all of that. Until we're willing to do that, as we have seen, nothing changes. The best example after Las Vegas, the focus on bump stocks and how action was going to be taken and Congress was going to take it up. They haven't. The state of Massachusetts passed a ban on them. That's the only action we've seen. What I appreciate, frankly, about Bruce as a member of the RNC is he is here willing to talk about it and to look at all the causes. And I hope we continue to do that as others do.
Well, and you know, until we're able to, and Don and Bill, this may just be Bruce's opinion right now, but I think there will be a lot of people talking about it. Until we're willing to talk about some of the excesses under the First Amendment, which could be a factor in a lot of the lack of civility, the lack of decency, the lack of purpose that we've always had as a country to pull together. You know, we got some serious thinking to do, and hopefully, you know, there'll be a good two-way dialogue on this. I certainly am for that.
Let me respond to that real quickly. I would be as open to talking about limits on the First Amendment as you might be to talking about limits on the Second Amendment.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Right. I'm very leery about any limits on the First Amendment.
And that's, you know, that's the conundrum that we're in.
So what we have to look at what actions can be taken that don't impact either.
All right, I am going to change topics, so this is a perfect time, Ray, to take our break a minute or so early. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We'll be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday, teachers continue to leave Arizona in droves. They're seeking greener pastures. So how do we stop the exodus? Plus, the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen here. The Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell. And Dodge just had a Facebook message. Did Bruce Ash just blame the First Amendment for gun violence? Bruce Ash?
Of course not. It's the actions of people. But certainly the over and above, the over-the-top sort of exposure to violence and sexuality and the things that, over a period of time may have an influence on people to do certain things if they already have that predisposition, it's sort of frightening. It's people who cause the problems, not the First Amendment or the Second Amendment or whatever. It's people who create these horrific sorts of things, either in a situation like this, or even interpersonal things between, you know, between family members and so on, which this was apparently, you know, an inter-family feud for some reason. You know, we'll, I'm sure, find out more.
It's an interesting question. However, there's been no evidence in any research that exposure to porn, exposure to violence, shooter games, and all that lead to increase in shootings or mass shootings. I would like to see that research done. However, Congress traditionally has refused to allow the CDC, to allow other federal agencies to spend money to research the causes of gun violence.
Hmm. All right, I'm going to change topics. As promised, former Arizona Attorney General Terry Goddard announced this weekend that he wants Arizonans to vote to constitutionally ban anonymous donations from political campaigns. This will be what he is calling, former Attorney General Goddard is crafting a, quote, right to know initiative. And Don Jorgensen, Terry says we need to kind of move beyond the words dirty money.
Well, move beyond the words dark money and call it dirty money.
Oh, excuse me, yes.
And the reason, his reason for that is that dark money has been kind of expanded to beyond the original definition, which was hidden money. Now it's just claimed to be out-of-state money, such. And he's being very specific that voters should have the right to know the source of funds for campaigns, whether it's candidates or initiatives, or for advertising in support of those folks, that we shall have the right to know. The best example of that comes in the last statewide election, where you had corporation commissioners for the ACC, and there was $3 million in this secret money poured into that campaign in favor of a couple of particular commissioners, and no way of knowing who was behind that money. There was suspicion that Arizona Public Service, one of the utilities the corporation commission regulates, was behind it, and yet they've refused to confirm it or deny it. This initiative, if passed, would allow us to know who's behind the messaging, who's behind the advertising, and that's the focus there. It's been called political money laundering, in essence, and Terry Goddard's and VPA's Arizona's initiative here would require piercing the veil, whether it's individual contributions over $10,000 or even contributions from the 501c4 groups that are often created to hide the sources of those funds.
Legally, what about this, Bruce Ash? I mean,
boy, this must be Constitution Day here at the Buckmaster Show.
Well, it kind of segues in, doesn't it, to our First Amendment discussion?
Well, it does, because this type of political giving is constitutionally protected free speech. What is one person's dirty money is another person's constitutionally protected rights to privacy, as well as their right to express themselves. And I think we've already had significant Supreme Court rulings on this. I don't want to say that this is settled law, as oftentimes people throw in my face about certain things, but the Supreme Court, I think, has very affirmatively ruled in these areas, like it or not, that there is such a thing as protected free speech. Hmm. And part of the protection is the right to privacy in some cases. We have had a history in this country where people are threatened and they are harmed or killed because they supported political candidates or they supported causes that were unpopular to others in their community. And you know, we have a very, very hyper ramped up sort of political society that exists today. And, you know, I can just imagine what kind of a damper that would have on the ability to express oneself or the rights of an organization to express themselves based upon their contributors' desires.
Mr. Attorney General Goddard has realized, I mean, he's an attorney.
Yes.
He understands the legal ramifications. He must feel that that there is an opening here.
What he knows is that the Supreme Court excluded from those rulings, from Citizens United and such, any disclosure requirements that states might impose. And that's in the wording. It's very clear that this is not by itself unconstitutional. And one of the reasons is this Right to Know initiative is focusing on the disclosure of funding and expenditures, not limitations on it. So it has no impact. In fact, it protects the First Amendment right of free speech through money, as Citizens United does. But it's stating that people have a right to know who's behind it. And they're backed not just by a Democrat former Attorney General Terry Goddard. They're also backed by former pretty far-right conservative Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, who said that requiring people to stand up in public for their political acts fosters civic courage, without which democracy is doomed. And he noted affirmatively that people have a right to know where that free speech slash money is coming from.
So they could give whatever they want as long as it's disclosed.
Right.
That's well, and you know, look, and you're right. I'm not suggesting that states don't have that ability to make their laws in this area, Don. However, we probably will have a constitutional question on this initiative if it's passed, depending upon the wording of it as it goes down, and depending upon how it might impact certain individuals whose free speech was impaired. I am all for the money that is donated to different causes or to different candidates being made public. I certainly have that civic courage that Justice Scalia talked about myself. And I have paid the price on multiple occasions for expressing myself. However, having said that, I think it is wrong necessarily for anybody to assume that what comes from another group, as C4, for example, is dirty money just because one disagrees with the message that's being given. And you know, there are, I think, constitutionally protected rights that individuals as well as organizations still have that I think, in my opinion, have been enhanced by Citizens United. And Bill, I happen to know the lawyer very, very well who argued Citizens United, who briefed the Supreme Court on this. And if you're ever interested in having Jim Bopp of Indiana on the show, I'm sure he'd be very happy to come and talk about this very matter that Terry has proposed.
Hmm. But that's the point. This initiative is not about Citizens United. This is about transparency in knowing who is behind these messages, who is supporting which candidates. Bruce has had the courage to do that publicly, as have I, as have a lot of folks who give significant amounts of money. And by the way, this only applies to donations of over $10,000. But the public has a right to know who is backing these messages, who are backing these candidates. If it's out-of-state money, where is it coming from? They have the right to spend it. They have the right to put their message out there. But people have a right to know where it's coming from and who's behind it.
All right. Tomorrow we have our election. Bruce, any upsets that you would like to make a prediction on?
You know, I think it's really going to depend upon the margin to which 204 goes down, if it does go down. I think anybody who is voting against 204 is probably a vote for Mariano Rodriguez or Gary Watson. And it'll be very interesting to see what those results are. And I just, you know, I can't imagine, you know, kind of talking about constitutional things again, and this I mentioned just kind of off the cuff, Don, the city charter talks about core things that the city's supposed to be involved in. Educating preschool kids was never part of that. And imposing a tax in order to pay for those things just seems to me to be, you know, out of the range of what anybody ever thought about when we wrote the city charter back in the 1920s.
Hmm. Don?
Yeah, I agree with that. It is a little out of the norm, but I think it's a desperate act in reaction to the failure of the state legislature to provide adequate funding for education. And it's a shame that the city has to do that, but they have to do it. Now, I don't necessarily agree that. I'm sure that the people who vote for Rodriguez and Watson may also be voting against it, but that doesn't mean that those candidates are getting all those votes, because there are Democrats who also oppose 204 for different reasons. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't surprise me to see the Democratic candidates win and perhaps the tax measure go down.
And look, I think a lot of people in Tucson support the TOSD bond issue.
Yes.
And the TOSD is a new kind of an organization going forward with new leadership, both, you know, on the administrative side, on the board side. I think there's been a lot of thought that's gone into this bond issue. And there's kids mm-hmm. and their families that are suffering as a result of such poor school facilities all over town. So I hope that happens. I kind of have a different sort of a view on the zoo, even though I love animals. You know, I've always thought that the zoo ought to be something that's privately, set up as a private foundation, like the Desert Museum is, who seem to have a very good track history over a period of time.
And a different approach.
Yeah,
so I would
do.
Agree with that.
Yeah, they do.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. Hope you both have a very good week. Thanks a lot. Bruce Ash, Don Jorgensen, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Be right back with General Wickham. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back, this Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show, as we plunge into the first full week of November here in Tucson, Arizona. I want to tell you about Green Things. Everybody knows it is my favorite place for all things green, and they're going to have a workshop Saturday morning from 10 to noon, Broken Pot Gardens. You know, the pots break, right? Why throw them away when they can make very attractive planters? You'll get some great tips, so don't throw those broken pots away. Come to Green Things and learn about how to make them into a yet another beautiful object for your garden. Green Things, 3384 East River Road, and of course they're on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Once a month, it is our honor to bring the Buckmaster Show contributor on foreign affairs and the military, retired U.S. Army Chief of Staff General John Wickham, to the Buckmaster Show. General Wickham was the Army Chief from 1983 to 87, Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. General Wickham serving more than four decades in the Army. He is retired, living very happily in Oro Valley, and he joins us now on the live line. General, how are you?
Doing fine, Bill, and glad to be with you, as usual.
We have so much to talk about, and why don't we begin with kind of the big news as far internationally is certainly the president's trip to Asia. Our very good friend from Voice of America, Steve Herman, has been the pool reporter on this trip, and Steve got somewhat of an exclusive on Air Force One on the flight from Honolulu to Tokyo when he asked President Trump about the people of North Korea, and Mr. Trump said, these are very good people. And it's for kind of the first time we've heard the president talk about the actual people living in North Korea, General Wickham.
Well, it's an interesting observation, trying to make positive with the situation. And, of course, the people up there in North Korea are like the South Korean people. They're suffering in the North under the brutality of Kim Jong-un and the privations that they have to share. But some interesting developments. When I was over there, we discovered that the North Koreans are using new words in their language. So there is a growing apart. And this happened in Germany, East and West Germany, as the occupation occurred and continued. So there's going to be some difficulties. And also that the North Koreans, and I've seen the videotape, so is my wife Anne, that the North Koreans have continued to use, showing how American, big boots American, going to schoolhouses and crushing little toys and alienating the North Korean children, if this is the kind of people we're seeing in the South. So there's been a steady effort to persuade young people in North Korea to hate America. So the people are good people, no doubt, but they are psychologically being taught to hate America, and that is something it's going to take generations to overcome.
790-2040, if you have a question or comment for General Wickham, he would be happy to entertain the questions. This BBC report is rather disturbing. The Joint Chiefs saying invasion is the only way to totally disarm North Korea. And I'm telling you, General Wickham, this, of course, is nothing new to you, but that report is very sobering.
It is, no doubt about it. And when you look at the reality of North Korea, a mountainous country, mostly mountains, and of course that's been a problem economically because they don't have much ground to grow vegetables or to raise cattle. And there are tunnels up in North Korea. Much of their nuclear capability is underground. And we know somewhat where targets would be, but we don't know at all. So if we were to invade, North Korea or strike them with a preemptive strike, the North Koreans would react with their nuclear weapons, and we would have a nuclear war on our hands. And therefore, the Joint Chiefs of Staff were saying, the only way we're going to get rid of those nuclear weapons is to go up there and dig them out of tunnels and destroy them, because we can't do it entirely from the air. Of course, it's, in my humble opinion, it's crazy to think about that, because going into North Korea is another Korean War with millions of casualties and great cost. And the second point is, Bill, we don't have the capability to do that.
Hmm.
We don't have enough active duty military or reserves. We'd have to mobilize the National Guard and the Army Reserves, marshal a large number of ships to move people to Korea, and the North Koreans would know that was coming, and they would react, and maybe preemptively they would react. So I think it's not a very smart move on the part of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, in my humble opinion, to say that. But it may be this is part of the politics of the military, telling the Congress, look, if you are worried about North Korea, you're going to have to help us modernize our military, because the only way to do something in North Korea is to invade, and we don't have the capability to do it.
It would require a huge invasion force, and you'd have to almost reinstitute the draft to get that many boots on the ground.
That's right, Bill, and of course the draft would take time to train the people and bring them up, and of course that is, you lose the element of surprise, and the North Koreans would be prepared for that, as they are. And having lived over there many years, the DMZ is a very difficult place. It's full of mines from the Korean War, and also every year the South Koreans put new mines in to keep the minefields very active. I've seen that and walked areas of the southern part of the DMZ. So it's a big obstacle, and we would have to go through that and into North Korea, where there are mines also that the North Koreans have put in the ground or ready to do it.
Well, the centerpiece really of this trip, and I realize the president is, it's come out, he's going to meet with Putin at some point in this Asia trip. But the centerpiece, really, I think people are looking to see how is this going to play, this whole Korean thing. He's been the president now in Japan, but he's going to go to meet with South Korean leaders, not going up to the demilitarized zone. But what do you expect out of all of this, General Wickham?
I don't expect a great deal, Bill. I think the president will try to, as he's done with Abe in Japan and with Moon in South Korea and also with Xi in China and with Putin, try to continue the emphasis on sanctions against North Korea, particularly with energy of fuel, and try to starve the North Koreans into some sort of submission. That isn't going to happen. And the North Koreans are not going to bow down to anybody, and they're not going to give up their weapons to anybody. We're going to have to live with a nuclear North Korea and treat them as an equal nuclear power among the others in the world and negotiate on that basis. I think we can negotiate. As you know, Bill, from your own background, we negotiated with the USSR during the Cold War and got the USSR to be constrained in their behavior and eventually to give up tens of thousands of nuclear weapons. I think we can do something similar with the North Koreans if we're smart about it. So I don't expect much other than more emphasis to try to constrain the North Koreans. But we need to have some dialogue with the North Koreans, and some of that has been going on. Unfortunately, the president says it's a waste of time. I think he's wrong. We've got the talking is the alternative to killing people.
All right, why don't we take our break right here? We've still got a lot to talk with General Wickham about. 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. Be right back.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See us soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. Back to the Buckmaster Show. This is a great time of year over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. One of my Facebook friends posted some pictures. They had a cabin up at Pinos Altos, the neat little town about 7,000 feet, just a few miles north of downtown Silver City. And the leaves had turned a golden color and looked really beautiful. So if you're thinking of a nice getaway, 3-hour drive to Silver City, go to Southwest New Mexico,
www.recreationopportunities.org. There is the full listing of your recreation opportunities, and there are many, and your places to stay. And likewise, there are many great opportunities to stay in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Let's resume now our conversation with a former United States Army Chief of Staff, General John Wickham. If you'd like to join the conversation, 790-2040. A lot of folks are curious, General Wickham, about your reaction to the judge sentencing Sergeant Bergdahl with no prison time, but with a dishonorable discharge, which cancels out any of his benefits. What is your reaction?
Well, my reaction, Bill, is the man obviously did wrong in combat and should be punished in some way. I think the judge's decision is okay. It's reasonable. Bergdahl suffered for 5 years of torture and captivity. Secondly, Bergdahl has admitted under oath, I left my post to go and warn my superiors about the toxic environment that we were living in, to protect my other buddies from what was going on. I think that's a healthy thing that he was doing. He did not desert. He did not take a weapon with him. And he did not expect anybody was going to go looking for him. So I think that the man was reasonable in what he tried to do. And I think the dishonorable discharge is terrible punishment. People that understand it, he has no benefits at all. No medical benefits from the VA, no pension, and may not have even a vote in elections. However, after about 5 years, many dishonorable discharges and general discharges can be upgraded based on responsible behavior, good behavior. My son, who is an attorney, does up in Denver, and his whole attorney work is on veterans affairs. He handles some of these things, these cases. And so it's conceivable that Bergdahl's dishonorable discharge could be upgraded in 5 years if he continues to behave well. But in any event, the bottom line is I think it's a reasonable punishment, but it is severe.
Were you surprised? Did you think he would have gotten some jail time, General Wickham?
No, I don't think so, given his situation. He's not well. And, you know, the president didn't help the matters either. He said we ought to punish this man, and he's a deserter and all that stuff. Unfortunately, Bill, the president speaks with ignorance about things like this. That's what he's tweeting doing. Tweeting is sort of a simple way to get a message across, but it's not based on intelligence.
Rita would like to make a comment on this, and I know people feel very strongly, General Wickham, about the sentence. Rita, go ahead. We welcome your opinion. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Buckmaster. Anyway, I think that I remember a time, I don't care what his reason was, he deserted. And there was a time when we put people to death for doing that. Our country has gone so soft, it's ridiculous.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Rita. And we welcome everyone's opinion here. And, General, would you like to briefly comment on that?
Yes, I think she's right. Desertion has been an offense that leads to death and has in war. But Bergdahl, he claimed he did not desert. He left on his own, intending to come back, but he was going to go to the superiors, but he got lost, and he was going to report the toxic environment that he lived in. And I think that's a healthy action on the part of a young soldier, to be willing to go that far to help his buddies out in the toxic environment. Unfortunately, in the military, we've had toxic leaders and toxic environment. That's why we have abuse of women and abuse of minorities in our services, and continues to be to this day. So I don't think that Bergdahl deserted in the true sense of desertion.
All right. A lot of folks, General Wickham, were surprised that American military forces are operating in Africa. A lot of this was special forces and some black ops operations. But we are getting spread a little bit thin, aren't we, here? And we're going, we've got new troop movement to, 3,000 service personnel heading to Afghanistan.
That's right, Bill. No doubt about it that there's a lot of things going on that the public is totally unaware of. And we do send special forces people. We have Marines, of course, scattered throughout the world. One of the things they do is just in embassies, guarding the embassies. But that's they do more than that. So, yes, we do send people around the world. And I think we need to be much more mindful of where we're sending troops. Less than one half of 1% of our nation's population ever serves in uniform, the lowest number ever. We've had the lowest number now in our state and federal legislatures. So there's an ignorance about service and some of the sacrifices that are involved. And unfortunately, that leads then to willingness to let people go and do these kinds of duties that I think we've got to be much more mindful about. And the Congress needs to step in and exert a little more oversight than they have been willing to do in the past.
Do you think this is a big deal in Spain, where you've got the separatist movements going on in the Barcelona area, the Catalonians? How might this even affect NATO?
It's a good point, Bill. I've been over there in that part of Spain at the Olympics many years ago, decades ago, and I was surprised by the attitude of average Spanish folks that wanted to get away from Madrid. They felt that the central government was not taking care of them enough. And so the movement to break away from Madrid and the leadership in Spain was real. I did meet Franco also years ago, about 3 or 4 years before he died. So there was a reality of the dictatorship that caused some of this. And so it's a manifestation of attitude throughout Europe and even in the United States. There's a people that elected President Trump feel that the nation has drifted away of caring for people. That all we're doing is caring for elites and for those people that work in Washington. And so let's get somebody new in there that's going to change things around in a big way. And that's why we're going to, why we elected President Trump and why we've changed it with the Republicans. Unfortunately, Bill, as you and I have seen in the last months, we haven't seen any change really at all in the benefit of the people that elected these people. And in Europe, it's going to lead to other parts of the European Union that may want to break away. The Brexit decision in the United Kingdom is a manifestation of that. Some of the British people feel that being part of the European Union has not benefited us in London and in other parts of the United Kingdom. So it's a manifestation that's going to continue.
You had some exciting family news, swearing in your granddaughter?
Our granddaughter has been a military police officer, paying back her ROTC duty. She was a Mandarin scholar, brilliant young woman, and now she's going into a physician's assistant two-year program for all the services and will be certified as a physician's assistant. So wonderful. The PAs are paid almost as much as doctors. So, yeah, she's done very well. And we need to do more of this with women and give women the opportunity to grow in service. And she's seen, and I've seen it from her, there's abuse of women still in the military. Men don't like women doing the same jobs that they do. And transgender is another manifestation of lack of equality. And we're still treating blacks unequally, I believe.
So this is an issue that you had to deal with as the Army chief as well, and it's still there, isn't it?
It was still there when I became chief of staff, we were only selecting 3% of blacks for command of battalion and brigade. And if you didn't get selected for command, you aren't going to go anywhere in the service. Mm. What to do about that? I wrote instructions in handwriting for 4 years to the selection board. You will select in accordance with the density of the minorities, which is about 18%, or explain to me why you couldn't. And the effect was electric, and we began doing that. If we didn't do that, we're not going to have any more Colin Powells the military.
Indeed. General Wickham, going to have to run. And by the way, Colin Powell always says General John Wickham looks to you as his mentor, and rightly so. General, thank you for being with us.
God bless, Bill. Thank you very much for your wonderful program.
Thank you very much. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw, Ray Allen helping Mike out. That's going to be from 4 to 5, Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 9. Me, Bill Buckmaster, back with Ray at 12:04 tomorrow. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.